This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
Hello, fellow old dogs. Bill Manicero here, top dog at the Old Dogs REI Network. I just wanted to take a moment to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Health IQ, a company that gives health-conscious people the best life insurance rates and quotes. Learn about what they can do for you specifically at HealthIQ, that's the initials IQ.com/olddog, of course spelled D-A-W-G, all lowercase, and that's healthiq.com/olddog.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, today we have a very interesting show. Emerging markets is one of those areas that we've talked about many times in interviews with guests as well as on our Fun Fact Fridays. We're going to explore it a little bit deeper today. You know, there are many things going on nationally with real estate. Some markets have cooled, some are better than others. But throughout the country, they're booming. There are certain booming areas due to population growth and urban expansion. These emerging markets are where really the next wave of big time real estate profits can be found. And it's in those markets that investors really learn how to maximize their returns and their cash flow for their advantage. So we're going to be talking today with someone who many of you have heard from before on episode 027. It's Vinny Chopra. And Vinny is the president of the Ideal Investment Group and Moneal Investment Groups, multifamily investment companies with assets over $130 million. A mechanical engineer with an MBA in marketing, Vinny and his wife started real estate investing in 1983. He became a broker in California and started buying single-family homes and multifamily assets in Texas, California, Arizona, and India. Over the last 7 years, Vinny has purchased a number of large apartment communities in key emerging markets throughout the U.S. In addition to real estate investing, Vinny has been a professional fundraising consultant, business coach, and motivational speaker. Vinny is married to Kanchan and has two children, Neil and Monica, and lives in Danville, California. Welcome again, Vinny, to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be back with you, bud.
Oh, it's great to be talking to you again, and I'm looking forward to an amazing amount of information as you have always provided us in your interviews. So thank you so much for being here. Well, this is a big area, and this is one I know that's very important to you. And I thought maybe before we get into the nuts and bolts of emerging markets, could you just give me a definition of how would you define an emerging market?
Sure, Bill. You know, emerging market, as the word says, emerging, these are the pockets of areas of the metro areas, the big cities, all over USA and all over around the world, actually, where the markets are emerging, more jobs are coming, more jobs bring more people who will be working in those jobs, and they will have their households who will be moving also along with them. So there will be a pent-up demand for housing, for apartments, for family homes, you know, duplexes, fourplexes, all that. So emerging market is something, again, if I may say, where larger businesses are locating. They are coming into those areas and new jobs are created. Appealing lifestyles are being, you know, also happening there. There's more rental potential because of that. And the other part is the big box retail shopping hubs and health hubs are also coming into that market. See, the thing is, we many times say, oh, we should not invest in, you know, particular market like Dallas, for example. I've heard that from many, many groups. Oh, no, we shouldn't go there, or Houston or San Antonio or, you know, Atlanta, I heard the other day. But the thing is, it's not just the whole state, or you cannot say the whole metro area is emerging or not emerging. These are the local areas where there is path of progress, where there is growth potentially coming in those particular areas, you know, and so forth. You know, again, emerging market is where, if we are talking about the expansion of jobs, that's what it's all about. You know, I have seen that happen in my career in multifamily for the last 10, 12 years. When I was looking into it in 2006 and 2007, I know the big crash came, and we looked at the data where the unemployment is the least. And we came to know about Odessa and Midland. And nobody knew about those cities. You know, I mean, we just looked at it. I was over here in California. We just made a decision, you know, hey, that's where we're going to be. And we bought 7 properties there. From there, we went to the Round Rock, you know, Austin and San Antonio area. That's like 7 years back. We bought 7-8 over there, you know, about 3 years back, we went to Houston area in a tertiary market, you know, where there were $1.1 billion was going to be spent by doing research. And we went over there, and Moneel Investment Group, my present company, I'm the CEO of, you know, they collected, I mean, we collected 10 properties over there.
That's amazing. Well, would you call like Odessa and Midland, is that sort of a submarket as opposed to a major MSA?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, Bill. I mean, you know, the big market would be Lubbock. Lubbock is also not that big, but that would be one. Dallas will be the closest one, you know, or you go on the other side, El Paso, Texas, and Albuquerque and all that. But and Corpus Christi up north. Odessa and, you know, Midland really served us very well, my companies, you know.
Sure. Well, you know, one question, you said, well, there's a lot of jobs or it's got low unemployment. But, you know, you mentioned Houston, for example. One time Houston was exclusively the oil industry. You know, oil took a downturn in terms of value. A lot of folks lost jobs. So, are you also looking for a variety of different companies supplying jobs?
Very much so. Very much so. You know, it's amazing. When I was in San Antonio in 2010, 7 years back, lots of brokers would send me product, right? The multifamily on my desk will come from Houston. And I always thought, you know, building permits, you can build anywhere in Houston. I mean, you could put a commercial, you know, building in front of, in middle of residential, blah, 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 all that. But when I was trying to look at it about 4 years back now, that long back, see, and I started doing research and we came across a property in a small town, 35 miles south of Houston, 35 miles, yeah, about 40 miles, Angleton, Texas. Oh my gosh, we bought the property, Bill, and after we closed on the property manager said, Mr. Vinny, we got 25 families in the waiting list. I said, wow. What are you talking about? We were 100% occupied, Bill, and we had 25 families still who could come in. I started looking through all the research papers and data, and I just filled my Dropbox with so many different studies, you know, and came to know this is where in that particular county, it's not oil dependent as much as, you know, Houston was proper and other jobs. But then, you know, bought Albion, I wouldn't mind sharing that name, about 1 mile away from that property for $8.7 million 2 years back, Bill. It's worth $11.7 million now.
Unbelievable. Wow.
I mean, that is growth. I mean, these properties are 100% occupied. And we are selling Cambridge now, by the way. We bought for 5.225. We just got an offer for 7.225. And we are going for 7.650, you know, countered it. So let's see where we fall. But then I bought another one, Arbor Pine, a walking distance from Albion, because why not? If the product is good and the jobs are there, why not to buy more? And to make long story short, Monil bought 10 assets in the neighborhood right around in that tertiary market. Bill, this is called emerging market, but it's a tertiary market. It's not the main market, Metro Houston, but it's outside.
Interesting. Now is an emerging market important to a typical buy and hold investor? Now, I understand when you buy, you have an exit plan when you're going into it. And that is, you know, hold it, 3 to 5 years, 7 years, whatever it may be, and then selling and, of course, capitalizing on the equity growth. But what if somebody wants to buy it and hold on to it for 20 years? I mean, is an emerging market important in that?
You know, yes and no. I would say that in my model for Monil Investment Group and Ideal IG, we always have syndicated, right? This is my 26th syndication I'm doing presently in the new emerging market, Atlanta. I know a lot of people will say, oh no, everything is so hot. Everything is just not touchable, right? But right. I have gotten so many deals in the last 5 months, Bill, almost 90 deals, right? 90. And we underwrote maybe half, more than half of them. I came best and final in about four. And didn't get them, right? Did not get them. But then I just got into two deals where I'm buying for $37,000 a door. I know another syndication group that's buying for $66,000 a door across the street from me.
Unbelievable.
So these were the pocket deals. Pocket deals are the best way to do it. All 10 I bought in Houston have been pocket deals from the big people, ARA, Marcus Millichap, you know, Houston Properties, all these brokers, they love you, you know. I mean, once you know that you're a performer, and I have closed on every deal in the last 12 years.
Wow.
Every deal that I've contracted. But just to answer your question, you know, our horizon with syndication group is 7 years. We say 5 to 7 in the PPM, but then we try to sell it out in 3 to 5 years. Why not? Because then we can double the money for many of the investors, and then they can roll the money into next market. See, the thing is, the market cycles are about 5 to 8 years, usually, you know, or 6 to 8 years. So you can go, the value can go up in a cycle and then come down. But if you want to stay there for, you know, 20, 30 years, you'll go through cycles. So your property may be worth not five times if you stay there for 20 years. You know, that's what I want to say. If you sell it when it's gone higher, and then, you know, the buyer also has to have some meat on the bone, we call it, right? Why should they buy otherwise? So that's why we sell it, you know, and then, you know, then move into a new cycle and new cycle and new cycle, because every market, every local market, I should say, would be emerging in America. I mean, there are about 20 to 30 at a given time. Always.
So you may sell in a market that's still hot. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm. And then move that money into another one, which is just starting to evolve, you know?
Right, right. Now, do you look at, let's say for Atlanta, okay, when you mentioned Atlanta, I mean, that for a long time, people have been saying this is a great place to buy. How do you know whether this is, and again, I'm maybe looking at the classical bell curve, you know, that, you know, it moves up and as prices are increasing, as jobs are growing, you know, you're going up the left side of the bell, and then you get up at the top, and then that's usually the top of the bubble, right? And then when that bubble bursts, then everything starts going down. Now, how do you know, like, for example, in a market like Atlanta, where you are on that curve? How do you know you're not like at the top of the bubble? Are there certain indicators to you that show you that?
Yes, yes. I'm so glad you touched on that, Bill. See, the thing is, Atlanta also, I've been looking at it for the last 6 months, 7 months. Actually, even before that, I have a whole Dropbox filled with all the different studies. I read a lot. I'm sure all the syndicators do, and, you know, investors should, because unless you are aware of the market that you want to bring your investors in, you have to do a great sales job, you know, to get their money moving in. A syndicator is not a syndicator if they can get a property into the deal but don't have the money following them, right?
You know? Right, right.
So the thing is, Atlanta, if you say proper Atlanta, certain areas of Atlanta, Marietta, Smyrna, you know, north side in the champagne glass, where I really wanted to buy, the properties are $100,000 a unit, $125,000 a unit. So the market has moved up higher on the bell curve in certain pockets of Atlanta. There are other parts of Atlanta where I'm buying, like in Union City, Georgia, which is south of Atlanta, Austell, Riverside. Those are the pockets which are lagging behind. See?
Interesting. Wow. And those markets have enough data for you to be able to analyze them? I mean, they seem like they're really, really small areas.
Yes. Yes.
Can you kind of tell me that process? Where do you start? How do you start analyzing a potential market?
Okay, very good point. See, I would say the real nitty-gritty, my tactics or my skills I've learned in the last 10 years is that when you're going into a market, who knows the market well? The brokers. The multifamily brokers, multifamily management companies are the ones living in Atlanta, and they have seen Atlanta grow, you know, left and right and north and south. So I like to make relationships, start building relationships with the big cheeses, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did my research on Atlanta, like, you know, started last January, by the way, you know, almost a year back, right? And then I don't jump into a market right away. I don't. I take my time, just like in Houston. I took almost 7 months to really dig into, you know, and then be able to get into that pocket and bought 10 within 2 years, 10 of them, almost $72 million worth, you know, over there. But then same thing with Atlanta. Now, I took a trip, Bill, only 4-day trip Can you believe it? About 6 months back. And that those 4 days, my best 4 days ever, because I went from one president to next executive vice president to, you know, all the big boys, right? The Cushmans, the ARAs, the Marcus Millichaps, the Browns, the Gemstar, the top ones. You got to do your research, right?
Right.
Texting them and emailing them and calling them. You have to just go there one time, but you got to keep your, you know, your name in their front of them and keep them reminding, hey, you are there to perform. And that's what happened. They started feeding me all these properties, and we did, you know, underwriting, and some were very high price and all that. And we said, hey, our numbers don't work, blah, 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 like that. But then they get your picture. Then they started giving me off the market deals, see? It took about 4 months or so. Now they are saying, hey, Vinny's sincere. He's able to, you know, respond back and talk to, and, you know, I send them some gifts and things. You know how it is. You want to build, you know, your name and everything. Send them chocolates to their office and some, you know, gift cards, and send them some articles and ask them to send me some articles, you know, about the growth of Atlanta. Every article they'll send, some of them I knew they didn't know, by the way. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I'll send them the articles. But one more trick is, are you ready, Bill? Try to find out, the investors should try to find out operating memorandums from the brokers in the area they want to invest in. Because in the back of the operating memorandum, about 4, 5, 6 pages long, is all the studies are done for them. Because the brokers subscribe to so many different magazines and, you know, CoStar reports and IRR reports and data, you know, demographic reports and all kind of reports, right? They will have even the news and, you know, Fortune magazines and the, you know, Forbes magazines articles for that area, because that's their specialty.
Great information.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. You know, those are my tricks. That's what I've been doing. And then you take those articles and you always try to ask them. I just got an article about from the brokers. I asked them, hey, could you give me, I mean, this, you know, I won't mention, I could mention this 267 unit I'm buying, you know, for such a cheap price, it's going to be worth twice that much in 3 years. 3 years.
Unbelievable.
Three years in Atlanta, you know.
Now, do you ever, you get the offering memorandums, do you actually ever bid on any of those, or no? You just
I do.
You know,
I've done, you know, I mean, if the numbers really work, and that way, you know, like 2-3 properties, I loved them, you know, they were B class, all brick, beautiful, great area, Dunwoody area, Marietta, Smyrna, which I love that over there, Sandy Springs, you know, in Atlanta, beautiful areas, right? So I went there and I bid, you know, and I was able to work the numbers. This was about 4 months back or so. I flew there too. You know, I sent an LOI. I thought, okay, I might be able to get it. I flew there and met with the brokers and everything. I even had you know, I was in the top two, by the way, you know, best and final. But then they had some special relationship with the other buyer, and I'm a new one coming into Atlanta. You know, I've been in Texas all these years, so, you know, I didn't get it. That's okay. That's okay. It never gets me down.
Oh, yeah. No, you have to keep trying to find the real diamonds in the rough, right?
You got to keep on trying. And, you know, so let me tell you now, they told me about these properties, the two I'm buying, it was on a napkin. I mean, the seller just told the broker, yes, they want to sell it from New York. They're off, you know, off-state people. They owned it for 5-6 years, and the management company is doing pretty poorly job and so forth. I just got it under contract. I did my number crunching in my extensive worksheet, and put an LOI right away. And then, that's great. You know, and got accepted. And this was right before 30th of December. And I told my wife, we had just come back from Hawaii. We're not going to buy anything for 2-3 months, you know. Little did I know, it will fall in my lap. And I got it under contract, told them execution day would be a week from that because I didn't want to miss my days for due diligence, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got from the broker itself, I said, hey, tell me somebody you really have a lot of confidence in doing due diligence for me. They gave me one phone number, Bill. I called Sid, talked to him for 1 hour. And contracted due diligence team right from California, and they started the next Monday.
Tell me about the due diligence team. Who is in that? I mean, is it attorneys? Is it inspectors? Is it, I mean, are different types of people?
Okay, good point. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, see, the thing is, it's a brand new market. I'm kind of practicing what I preach in this mm-hmm. new market. I've been, you know, lecturing and telling people and students, hey, this is how to do it. So I'm doing it, what I teach. You know, the good part is, I have my attorney, Milton, as I mentioned before, I met him only 3 times. He's my confident counsel. He does a great job in Dallas. And then I found a new attorney in Georgia now. You know, mm-hmm. so Milton and Shola are working together. That's my team. Then my lender, who is in Houston, very good LMI Capital. I don't mind saying their name. You know, Brandon is awesome, and he's the one, and his whole team is working, and they've been doing loans in Georgia already. So I don't have to do anything. I love it. They do all the story writing, all the projections. They just ask me a few things, and I sign papers after my lawyers say yes, and that's how that is. Due diligence team is separate. Due diligence team is a multifamily inspection team one should get in the local area, by the way. I could have brought my crew from Texas, but then I did my numbering, you know, hotel, flights and food and everything, because I'll take care of very good care of my people. So I thought I'm going to find me somebody there in Atlanta, and I found it. This company, Sid is the owner, 5 people in the team, 5 people. And they have been doing multifamily, inspections for 42 years.
Wow.
42 years. I lucked out, really lucked out. Positive energy brings positive energy, you know. Mm-hmm. And I told Sid, I'm new to you. Would you please tell me what would be in your contract, what would you do? What would your team do? My company likes to go to every single unit, 267 units, every single one, not a sampling. And the structure and this and a roof and, you know, foundation and termite and all that, you know, and the lease audit, every single, you know, lease has to be seen and put them in a nice Excel worksheet. All that. $10,000 I contracted. He gave me a little bit off, you know, about $30 per unit for inspection bill and $10 for lease audit. That's the going rate, about $40, you know, and I got it.
Lease audit too.
Oh, wow, surely.
That's wonderful.
Whole team.
Does that include checking like the applications, the tenant applications as
yes,
well?
Yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh, their whole criteria, their leases, you know, and if there are felonies, where do they work, and all that, demographics, the whole thing. And they send me 75-page report, Bill.
Wow.
75-page plus a whole jump drive, right? The flash drive filled with pictures and everything. I am so tickled pink. I would love to give, you know, their name to your investors if they are in Atlanta area. And they are amazing people. The best part is they are good. I mean, you know, they are very best I found, you know. which is great.
That's great. Well, just to work on our way back just a little bit, when you're looking for new markets, I mean, it sounds like you've got your hands full with the markets that you already have.
Yes.
But let's say you're exploring new markets. Tell me sort of the first, you know, five places you go to find information. You know, let's say it's totally a new market that, you know, it's North Carolina or I don't know, Pennsylvania or something like that. Where would you go just right off the top of your head?
Totally, totally. Bill, I would say the biggest thing would be to talking to the brokers over there in that market.
Okay.
And like the property management companies, then the IRR.com. Wonderful, wonderful website. Globe Street.com is a wonderful website. Data, data.gov, gov. CoStar.com, IRR.com, CBRE.com. And of course, you know, any area you're going to, just put the city's name and say economic growth or you know, some potential new business, and then put Forbes along with it in Google, or you should say Wall Street Journal, WSJ, put that city's name and that, Fortune, you know, magazine, US News, Top News. I mean, all these places will get us to the place, you know, and then, of course, the unemployment. That is the big thing. Jobs, if you want to look for areas where there are less unemployment, that means there are more jobs coming there, right? Well, it's 4.6 right now. Everywhere, you know, it's a pretty high employment all through the nation, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look into the metro, like North Carolina, you just brought it up. I've got ton of materials on North Carolina now because I think I'm going to be going there too. You know, Texas, I mean, I could still stay in Houston or San Antonio or Austin and still make hay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dallas, you could still make hay there. It's just that you got to look out for the real good opportunities, see? And also the pockets where there are more, you know, expansion coming. I think Atlanta is about 2 years behind Dallas in my thinking. But Dallas has kind of gone higher. Now, if you look at the bullet train, if that really comes true, with the news that I'm hearing about Dallas and Houston, wow, would that be really spectacular? People will be living in Houston, working in Dallas, and vice versa. It's amazing, you know?
I didn't know about that. There's a bullet train they're talking about
that
putting in Texas.
Yeah, that's what I have articles and articles on that. But, you know, I hope they have the private funding and so forth, or the state. I mean, you know, it's a very friendly state. The other good part is for investors, you know, like, you know, Portland, a lot of people say, Portland, is it emerging? My answer to that is, you know, yes, it probably is in some local pockets. It's emerging.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to find that, you know, those through talking to people who live there. Because, see, many of the investors probably are not buying in their backyard. I have a couple of students now in North Carolina, and, you know, they are buying right. I said, it's emerging right in your backyard. Why not?
This is such great information, Vinny. Wow. I think it's going to be invaluable for our listeners. Kind of getting near the end of our time here, but I wanted to see what other key comments would you make that would be helpful for people in terms of discovering and researching emerging markets?
Sure. I would say that, you know, once they make up their mind towards, okay, this is the pocket, you definitely want to look for the largest, again, you know, it all comes with experience also, Bill, but you want to look for the occupancy right there in that market, right? What
mm-hmm.
are the properties? Are they in the 90% above, or are there some depressed, you know, properties with lower occupancy? And how are the trends of that going up or down? That is a huge part. The absorption of the new material, new product, I say, which is again Class A buildings. You know, how many building permits are being taken in that particular side of the metro area, or you know, where they want to purchase the properties. How are the migration? See, local chamber of commerce can provide a lot of information also. So I like to, even when I go there, go to the chamber of commerce, you know, talk to the people, because they are the ones who know the pulse of the businesses, right? You know, they will know who is trying to come into that area. Like, you know, just to give you an example, in Union City, Georgia, and maybe I'll have a lot of students now buying over there, I just got the news, Samsung is building a big warehouse over there. UPS already did. Metro Center, Art, everybody. This was the sleeping town, which is going to wake up there, you know, and that is the time to get in there. When new hotels are opening up, like the one 267 unit, brand new Hilton Garden opened up, 5 minutes away, 2 minutes away, you know. And like in the Texas, you know, last year I bought three properties for only average of $22,000 a piece. They're going to double in value because in that particular area, I knew when the motels are opening up, new Walmart is coming in, it's a path of progress. New restaurants are opening up. So those are the things, you know. And then when the jobs come, the demand for the housing rentals goes higher, then you can increase the rent. See, that's the value play, right? Mm-hmm. Increasing the rent, doing better management, because we manage all our assets, all 136 million, and plus now another 23 million under contract. So that'll be 156 or so close to, you know, all that we manage ourselves. This way we could bring our own standards of money living, we call it. You know, I just got the, it's pretty interesting. I just got the domain name Moneel Living and Moneel World.
I love it. I love it. Sounds like an amusement park.
I would like to caution them a little bit too. See, when they start looking into emerging markets, they should start putting a lot of reports together, right? And then at the same time, also send out newsletters and news to their investors. Mm-hmm. See, the investor plate has to spin along with acquisition plate, see?
Right,
you know,
right.
For syndication, investors plate, syndication, I mean the broker's plate, the team plate, and then also the deals, you know, the underwriting, and then the lending also, you know. So all those things have to spin at the same time, because we have 60 to 75 days to make it happen, you know. And then, of course, having a great syndication attorney like Kim Taylor, I don't mind, you know, sharing her, you know, name and everything. And she's going to be recording lectures on my syndication academy and my asset attorney. And then I just lucked out, my asset manager, you know, Lynetta, I would love to say her name. She's written a book on multifamily investing, and I'm so fortunate to have her. So we're going to convert them into lectures also. So we're going to really make it a big go at it website, you know, intellectual knowledge on the web.
Hey, old dogs. Before we jump into our wrap it up session, I just wanted to let you know that an important part of being a successful real estate investor is knowing how to regularly reduce expenses. It's a big part of what I do every day to maintain a healthy real estate portfolio. Well, I try to do the same thing with my personal health and finances as well. When I heard about a life insurance company that gave special rates to those of us old dogs that try to eat right, exercise, and stay healthy, I got very stoked. That's where I found Health IQ. Health IQ gives health-conscious people the best life insurance rates, end quotes. Learn about what they can do for you specifically at HealthIQ, that's the initials, IQ.com/olddog, that's spelled D-A-W-G, all lowercase letters. That's HealthIQ.com/olddog. Check them out.
Oh, that's great. Well, Vinny, how can people reach you? People that might be interested in what you're doing or maybe want to participate in some of the projects you're doing. What's the best way for folks to reach you?
Sure, Bill. They could definitely text me or call me at 925-766-3518. That's 925-766-3518. Or email me at Vinny. V-I-N-N-E-Y, there is a E in there, V as in Victor, Vinny at Moneel, that's our kid's name, Monica and Neil, so M-O-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-I-G, that's India Group, .com, you know, that's investment group, actually, Moneelig.com.
India's good too.
And then also, the biggest place they could reach me now is www.multifamilysyndicationacademy.com or multifamilysyndicationacademy.info. So they could reach me there and they could, you know, buy my lectures and, you know, things like that. And I'm adding, you know, 60 more lectures over there on all different topics. I'm only good in multifamily. I do want to let your investors know, not house flipping or, you know, renovations or single family, only multifamily syndications.
That's great. Well, I can't thank you enough, Vinny. It's been wonderful having you on. And as you know, we have a tradition on this show that at the end of it, yeah, you're hoping I forgot about that.
I forgot about that either. And I think Elijah, my buddy, is here with me. He's going to give that gray the hound, right? Say that again.
Yeah, it's going to be the old hound dog howl here. So I'm going to give you guys both. You can both howl at the same time, however you want to do it here.
All right. We'll try.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Well, that's kind of more of a hoot, but that was fun.
I'm practicing on that for the third time now, Bill.
Well, thank you so much, Vinny, for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. I have also started a motivation channel on Facebook and also on YouTube. And, you know, so love to have your investors come in. And I know, thank you for what you do, Bill. You are doing a fabulous job bringing great, you know, interviews, and I listen to your podcast all the time and other, you know, people also. And we want to give as much knowledge to the investors so that they could become what you are becoming and I'm becoming, you know.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. I also want to thank all of our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us today. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taking the time to join us means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. Please note everything that Vinny's talked about today is going to be in our show notes, which are located at our website, olddogsreinetwork.com. Dogs is spelled, of course, dawgs.com/blog. And in the blog section, you'll see all the notes and any links, as well as to some of these sites that he's given and some other references there. So that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king, real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.